Our gospel reading this morning is from the Gospel of John, the second chapter, the first 11 verses. On the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. And Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. And when the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And we are doing an ancient creedal statement today, 880 in the back of the hymnal, in case you hadn't noticed, the Nicene Creed, a very ancient creedal statement expressing the gospel. Join me. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Seated. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now I do know right about sermon time in the worship service, there are some private prayers going on out there. One is, "Lord, I hope he has something to say." And the other is, "Lord, I hope he says it quickly." I know that. Well, I think I do have something to say today, and my staff makes fun of me when I say, "Stay with me." I'm going to say it anyway. Stay with me. I think I have something to say. But first, a story that I collected, and I like, and it will ease us into the topic of the water into wine. I collected this from Reader's Digest, and you know the kind of corny humor is in there. It's preacher humor, and that's what I'm going to share with you today. It was about a woman who wrote in and said, my college-bound daughter, a freshman going off to college, had to fill out a dorm questionnaire to find a roommate in her first dormitory experience. And she said, in our traditional Jewish family, my husband blesses a cup of wine at home on the Sabbath and gives each family member a sip. And this ritual imbibing of wine was the only experience the daughter had had with alcohol. So the mother said she was glad that she checked the questionnaire before she sent it off, because she had checked, you know, do you imbibe of alcoholic beverages? She checked yes. And how frequently? There was a line after that, and the daughter had written religiously. Now, I think that's a good story. Now, water into wine. This is a theme throughout the New Testament, wine. Wine is mentioned quite a few times, and symbolically. And I'm going to take it in a symbolic sense this morning. What Jesus did was, first of all, we need to understand how disorderly and how unseemly it was. You see the baptismal font right there. Do you know what that water was for? It was for ritual purification. He took six stone jars normally used for the ritual of purification, and he had them filled to the brim and turned them into giant carafes of wine. Imagine if someone took our baptismal font, their punch bowl broke, they took it into the fellowship hall and used it as a punch bowl. Imagine. How would the worship committee react? Where's Gladys? Gladys is not here to even hear it. It's a good thing. But you get the picture. Jesus claimed the authority to break the rules and put these jars and this water for ritual purification to an entirely different use. It was his first miracle. And he turned plain old ritual water jars filled with plain old water into the finest wine the steward of the feast had ever tasted, saving the best for last. And Jesus continued talking about new wine in his teaching later on. You will remember that Jesus compared his teaching to the laws and the ritual which came before. And he said that this new wine cannot be contained within the old wineskins, within the old ritual traditions. It couldn't be contained. It would burst forth beyond it. At the same time, Jesus said, you can't put a patch of new unshrunk cloth on an old garment, that it would shrink up and pull loose. It just wouldn't fit. Now, the speaking of the old ritual and law and rule on top of rule that the priest and the scribes had added, making it impossible. They had added to what God required, making it impossible to keep them all. And Jesus was saying, I did not come to patch the old system, or to add just one new thing here or one new thing there. I came bringing something entirely new and good and unexpected and hopeful and joyful and life-giving and weight-lifting. I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. As Paul said in Romans, all the law ever did was reveal to us that, yes, it's God's will, but on the other hand, from a human point of view, it revealed that no one ever kept the law, except Jesus alone. He alone kept the law, which Jesus boiled down to. Jesus said all of the law and all of the prophets boils down to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus alone kept the law, loving God completely, loving neighbor completely in heart and mind and in deed. Every other one of us on the face of this earth, and who has ever been, falls short in either heart, mind, or deed in keeping this law of love. Now, what is this law that I speak of? If you really boil it down, it is the Ten Commandments. The first half of the Ten Commandments have to do with loving God. The second half have to do with loving neighbors. And Jesus did speak of it in that way. The law and the prophets, love God, love neighbor. It is a consistent theme throughout the Bible. But Jesus came not to do away with the law, but he fulfilled it. He lived it. He also suffered temptation and death for you and for me. And one more thing. After death, he rose from the grave. Not even sin, this was to prove that not even sin and death had power over God's love. Regardless of our sin, which is real, and regardless of our sinfulness and imperfections, which are real and abundantly clear, God loves us. God loves us. And even though in complete holiness God demanded that we live within the guidelines of loving God and loving neighbor, we cannot, we have not even for a day, succeeded in living within these boundaries. But God's love, God's new wine, so much better than just rule and ritual and regulation and sacrifice, God's love found a way to keep us in His embrace. God in Christ kept the law. God sent His Holy Spirit also to comfort, to strengthen, and to grow in us the ability to love, and to grow in us the ability to feel compassion for one another. We're not just alone with a bunch of rules. That's the old wine. We have God's own Holy Spirit with us and within us to enable us to live new lives filled with this new wine that Jesus said couldn't be contained with all that came before. At Pentecost, you'll remember that when the disciples were enabled by God's Spirit to preach in many different languages, the people mockingly said, "They are filled with new wine." And Peter said, No. They are filled with the Holy Spirit. And thus that theme continues. The new things that Jesus brought are new wine, uncontainable within the old traditions. The entry of the very kingdom of God on earth was begun in Jesus Christ. And God's kingdom, which cannot be contained within one people or one nation, is just this. It is God acting to recreate this earth, to bring it back into the vision that God had from the very beginning of intimate contact and communion between God and humanity and between one human and another. Love God and love neighbor. Jesus lived that out, and He came to bring that about. A new creation, new lives, new heart, new ability to love. It's not hard to understand the kingdom of God, but it is very hard to make it happen. Because just as the old covenant priests kept adding rule on top of rule and ritual on top of ritual, we do the same thing within Christendom. That means all the churches and all the denominations who claim Christ. And then there is sin, and then there is selfishness, and then there is presumption that God likes me and people like me more than God likes those people over there who are not like me. That presumption was sort of the same one, when you think about it, that drug down ancient Israel in its ministry time after time, when they forgot that they had a job to do. Not a special status to glory in and sit down. They had a job to do, to be a light unto the nations, it says in the Old Testament. And we have a job to do, not a special status to glory in and sit down and be happy and do nothing, but we have a job to do. We are to share Christ's love and to make disciples, to give the hope and encouragement that Christ gave to others. When we sit back and say, "God likes me best," that's not acting new, that's old. God did this new thing in Jesus Christ, not just for you and for me, but for the whole world. It is new wine. It is a widespread invitation of forgiveness and grace and life eternal. And none of that can be contained within old wineskins or a narrow way of worship. A lot of people have a lot of different worship styles. You know, we have at 828 drums and electric guitars. 20 years ago, probably a pastor would have been burned at the stake for even suggesting that at Main Street, right? 25 years ago. We have that now. There's more than one way to worship God. God has let loose the power of His love on earth, and it has already overcome sin and death. And ultimately, the winning side on all conflicts, personal conflicts or global conflicts, is God's side. Death and judgment and violence in God's name are burst wide open with this new wine which Jesus brought. And Jesus took these on and won. But there are still skirmishes rippling through God's creation. Now back to the wedding in Cana of Galilee, the first miracle here recorded in the Gospel of John. Now, the Gospel of John comes with so much commentary and explanation different from the other three Gospels. And it shows that all the miracles were just occasions for gathering a crowd and for Jesus to teach so that the people would understand who he was. They in themselves were not the important thing, but they caught people's eye and ear so that he could teach. After this first miracle, it says his disciples, they were already following, they were already interested. But after the miracle, it said, well, now they believed. He had no interest that they were running out of wine. That's not the point. But what he did was to act and to reveal who he was, God in flesh, and what he came to do. And symbolically, he turned old ritual water into new and fine wine. The old wine was so different from the new wine in Christ. We are beyond, or should be, judgment of outsiders and narrowly defined recipients of who God can love. That has no place in the gospel. We are beyond, or should be, death to enemies and hatred of enemies. That has no place in the gospel. God's love limited by race or bloodline has no place in the gospel. Are there any standards? Yes. Love God with your whole heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus added one more thing, love even your enemy. That's new wine. Martin Luther said, love God and do what you like. Now, some people have taken that as sort of a license to do anything, but that's not right. It means if you truly love God, then you can do what you like, because the love of God within you will enable you and make you want to love others. The love of God within you will transform you and change you. This new wine, literally or theologically, makes you act different. An air of superiority because of theology alone has no place in the gospel. You know, the gospel also in the Gospel of Luke has that story of the Good Samaritan. And in that Good Samaritan story, have you noticed? A man beaten, bleeding, naked in the ditch. A theologian walks by. A Bible scholar walks by. This man in need. They don't stop. They don't help. But the man who stopped was a Samaritan. Had the worst theology and the worst bloodline, according to those folks around Jesus in Jesus' day. He was a despised Samaritan who stopped and helped and proved to be a neighbor to the one in need. And I think that parable has only one message. Good theology and good breeding have no place in the gospel. That too is new wine. The better you think you are and the more deserving you think you are, the more you think God is impressed by what you do and don't do, the more you think like that, the further you are from the gospel, the new teaching that Jesus revealed. The more you try to constrict and contain what God is doing on the earth, the less you can understand what a new thing God has done in Jesus Christ. Jesus is not just a patch on the old ways. He burst the old ways wide open. In Christ, the world saw that we are all sinners. In Christ, we are all offered salvation as a gift. And yet, too many people keep right on trying to earn it, right on trying to impress God, and trying to help God out by presuming to judge others in God's name. God doesn't need that kind of help. The new way, the new wine of Jesus Christ, is bigger than we think, broader than we think, but we keep falling into the old ways of limiting and narrowing what God can do and who God can work through. Now listen to me carefully. This is where the staff will make fun of me. Stay with me. They hate it when I say that. If you are a fan of the Methodist or a fan of the Baptist or a fan of the Presbyterians, which of those preferences do you think makes you superior and more deserving in God's eyes? Or if you are a fan of the Democratic Party or a fan of the Republican Party, which preference do you think makes you more superior or deserving in God's eyes? Or if you're a fan of the industrial North or a fan of the rural South, which preference do you think makes you more superior or deserving in God's eyes? What Jesus offered is grace, is a gift. You can't deserve a gift. When we know that all is grace, when we know that Jesus' love, death, and resurrection trumps all the categories that we invent to feel superior than other people, what personal preference do we want to lift before God and say, here, this makes me worthy? Dividing up and pointing fingers is the old way. Race and ritual and national and bloodline distinctions were all burst wide open by Jesus' new wine and the universal falling of the Holy Spirit upon all flesh. The prophecy Joel made and we say was fulfilled at Pentecost. God's kingdom has come upon the earth. It is still rolling. It is still growing through God's people. No other kingdoms ultimately matter anymore. Not ultimately. Every other distinction must be secondary to the new thing that God is doing upon the earth. Love of God and love of neighbor and even love of enemy is possible now. And those old divisions can't be patched up and baptized and blessed in Jesus' name. New wine. What Jesus gave us and what God gave us in Jesus Christ is newer and greater and grander and different from anything that has come before. When we fully appreciate it, all we can do is rejoice and share the good news that God was in Christ doing a completely different thing. And God has done it. God has done it. Not us. Not people like us, not fans of what we are fans of. God has done it, done a new thing in Jesus Christ. And it was not a small thing, not just one extra ritual here and there. It was a completely new thing. And this gospel is not anti-Semitic. It is pro-grace. It is pro-unity of need, for we are all sinners. It is pro-sufficiency of God's love for all. God in Christ has overcome sin and death and unites whomsoever will come to share and grow in His love and light. This is news. This is good news. This is the gospel. Amen.